Hello everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. Edition number, who cares, because Mill picks up 3 points on Saturday against Cardiff City and Steve Morrison. Joining me, Omer, I have my co-host, Mr. Kai Bennett. You good, pal?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all the better for 3 points, mate. And I know some of us are nursing hangovers. Well, I wouldn't say you're hangover, but I know you had a late one yesterday. But celebrating 3 points, the only way people know how, I suppose, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 3 points, you know, they deserve a little bit of a celebration, don't they? We don't tend to do it the very easy way, do we? We nearly did it the easy way. And then we gave, well, fans in the stadium, myself and the other, 10,000-12,000 fans in the stadium, probably a few more fans at home watching, a little bit of nerves about that last free kick coming in. Luckily, we managed to deal with it. I felt like a little bit of a Brighton there. Do you know what I mean? Where that free kick was in a similar sort of position. And I thought, no, don't go for it. But no, we got through it and 3 points are ours.
Yeah, 2-1 victory for Mill at the Den. Obviously, goals thanks to, in the second half, of Murray Wallace, our favourite player. You know, Kai, your name dropped him after the Fulham game as well, saying he thought he'd done well at times. And Mason Bennett as well, coming off the bench, get his second. And that, like we said, towards the end of the game, kind of make it interesting in the 90th minute. I think it was their young left-back, if I'm not mistaken, Bagan, getting the goal to make it 2-1 right at death. And I agree with you. I had a tweet locked and loaded from about 5 minutes before the end of the game that we put out on the socials on Twitter, where Morrison said they've ruined it for me, the little timestamp of at Wembley post-match. So I had it all locked and ready to go about the 91st minute. They stick the goal in the back of the net. I'm thinking, oh, shit, this could be a bit nerve-wracking. Have I jinxed us a little bit? But thankfully, we just held on, mate. And obviously, a big 3 points for us in all things considered.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think 3 points are big any time. I mean, we can't seem to get out of 15th position, can we?
No.
I think the other day we lost and we went down to 15th. No, we won. I think it was against West Brom. We beat West Brom.
We
still managed to move down to 15th. Yeah, so 15th is like we're struggling to get out of it at the moment. But no, we're 9 points off the playoffs, 20 points off the relegation zone. So we're obviously a bit higher than mid table in terms of points wise. But we need to try and kick on now because there's 9 points off. I think we've got a game in hand or. We've got still got a game in hand, haven't we? Providing the other teams don't have a game in hand from COVID as well. So, there's a chance here to potentially close the gap. I'm not saying we're gonna make the playoffs, but I'm just saying that we could make things interesting and not have a sort of a bit of, a season that fades out almost.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I think we're going to do a deep dive in the first part into the game from the weekend. Obviously, like I said, picking up a crucial win for us just to kind of stabilise the ship. And in part number two, we'll be talking about another home game as QPR come to town in London Derby. So we're going to part number one now and talk all things Cardiff City. All right, welcome to the first part of the show. Kai, I think we'll probably start off with the team news. Obviously, a bit of topic around it. No Luke Freeman in the team at all. Not in the starting 11 or subs bench. It is Luke Freeman, isn't it? I get confused between him and Kieran Freeman at Sheffield United. Both Freemans there. But obviously, he wasn't in the side. We had a continuous of a back five in the first half. I mean, the team news I'll read out for you was Bilkowski in goal, Danny Mack, Hutchinson, Cooper. Wallace comes in at left side centre-half with Pearce stepping out. Murray Mersch, Scott Malone left wing-back. Keith Nabel and Mitchell continued in the middle with Jed in the 10 behind Burke and Afobe. We'll talk about Freeman first. I think it's not really muted what his injury just is yet. I think it might have been a hamstring injury now that I've kind of thought about it in the back of my mind. I think he might have pulled his hamstring after a good week of training, according to Rowett, in his post-match interview after the game. Kind of the old cliche way, isn't it? Your new signing, quite excited to see what he could do. Had a 10-minute spell at Fulham the other night, thinking could fit in here, could be that number 10 position for him. We didn't miss him in the end, but obviously it's unlucky for him, but also unlucky for us as well, signing a player on loan, looking to kind of see what he could do for us. And he's injured, just on the verge of maybe his first start.
No, I think that's fair. And when you bring a new player in, you want to see what the player can do, and it's unfortunate when they get injured straight away. Obviously, he looked really good against Fulham for the 10 minutes they did play. He looked controlled on the ball. He looked like he had a really good cross and corner on him, so that way we would have really benefited from that. He looked like he could find a pass as well. So yes, it's a bit gutting to see him potentially out. Hopefully it's a minor injury, because he could have played against his former club on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And what on the team news, obviously, we went on the back five formation, similar to how Cardiff played, to be fair. I think I said it, obviously, in our last show that I wouldn't be surprised if we matched them up because that's how Morrison's got them playing. They had Smithies, Bagan, left wing back, McGuinness, Flint and Perry Enge, right side and a half, Drammer, right wing back, Doyle, Wintle and Walls with Harris and Hugo up front. I guess going into the game, you know, we said all week, you know, we've got nothing to lose at this point. We're in mid-table. We're now on 40 points after this game. Obviously, 37 going into it. Didn't have any fear of going down. Probably no kind of hopes, really, of going up. Although, you know, you never know if we can string some form together. I guess the initial thought at 2 o'clock, mate, was not shocked, but also disappointed in a weird way that we didn't go for a back four, because we've done it at the Den a few times this season and it looks really good. But I guess hearsay when we get the points. But I have to say, at 2 o'clock, I was quite disappointed in the team selection.
No, I was hoping for a back four as well. But I'm not quite sure what the difference is in the first half to a second half, because first half we were obviously quite poor. Both teams are quite poor. Morrison said that, you know, his side looked leggy. And to be honest, we just couldn't break them down. I felt like this was maybe Morrison's game plan to maybe frustrate us, get us pinned back and struggling to sort of break them down. But second half, I don't know what happens at half time, but they come out like a different side. I know Hugo had a good chance, you know, that he headed over and Cooper potentially could have given away a penalty. But you know, there was plenty of good chances. You know, there's plenty of good chances in the second half for us. And, you know, it was pleasing to see.
Yeah, I mean, the first half as a whole, I don't think we was really poor, but I kind of expected Cardiff. It was immediate from the get-go. You know, Morrison, old Mill player, knows how the Den can be at times. And, you know, form's not been great recently. They basically lined up with a banks of the 5-3-2 and sat behind the ball. Hugo and Harris were both sitting on the halfway line when we had the ball. Our centre-halves obviously were aimlessly passing it. I think it's the first time this season I've seen us have so much possession in a home game, Kai. First half in particular, we had 66% possession. And if anyone was going to make anything happen in that first half, it probably would have been us. But then again, I was doing live tweeting during the game at times, picking my phone up because I was bored watching it, to be honest, in the first half. You know, having no kind of vocal point up top, you've got Burke and Afobe, but they're really, I think, players that like to play on the counter. And at times, holding the ball up top to both of them, it's not really something that we often see. And if you're kind of playing into a solid back line and not really pressing and can't get through this defensive kind of sitting deep that Cardiff were showing us, it's hard to bring those players into the game. And I kind of felt like we could have done with an Nick Piezzi, for example, in the first half, where you kind of, at times, you're aimlessly passing it, but you can play that long ball forward to him, try and make it stick, and then play from there at times. And maybe second half, I think, you know, Rat said in the post-game thoughts, you know, that, you know, he asked Jeds and Burke and the Phobie to be a bit more narrow and try to play into the line, so to speak, and make themselves options to turn with the ball. But in the first half in particular, with them sitting so deep, Cardiff, it just was unbearable at times to kind of watch and try to get through, really.
No, definitely. I think if anyone was going to make that impact, it was going to be Oliver Burke. He just looked the most dangerous player on the pitch for us. Obviously, he had that chance, didn't he, that he, you know, the keeper saved. But no, he looked like he was the one that was going to scare the Cardiff defence if anyone was going to. Jed obviously had a good chance that he put over. But, you know, Benikofobi was quite isolated again up there, so it's tough on him. It was always going to be tough. We were trying to put balls in behind, but, you know, they were quite... It was quite easy for Cardiff to just sort of sweep them up and clear them. That was the only frustration of mine. And I would like to see us go maybe a bit more central into feet, and then try and get our wing backs coming forward and going wide. But yeah, that first half was very frustrating and quite, as you said, quite boring to watch.
I think this ages well. And someone replied to me, I think it was Terry Nadden, who said this aged well. It did. But during the first half, this is my thoughts really, because the Den was flat. This is like the atmosphere wise, I said the football was flat. Cardiff need to come out and press if we've got any chance of getting Burke and Phobie in the game. Seems also both teams are content to leave it till the last part of the game to try win it. Lack of plan B from the bench does worry me though, I said. And yeah, I mean, it aged well because we got the crucial win and we went 2-0 up at one point as well. But I just wasn't sure what could have been different in the first half that we could have kind of come into that game a bit more. And like I said, it was just times where you see Hutchinson passes it right side to McNamara. McNamara goes back to Hutch. Hutch then moves it across to Murray Wallace at left side, centre half. Murray Wallace gets to Scott Malone. Scott Malone goes to Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell turns back and gives it back to Cooper. Cooper then tries to play a diagonal over to McNamara on the right hand side. And then it breaks down, or we make a sloppy mistake with the ball. And because we're not typically a team that looks after the ball well, I don't think, Kai, which is one of the criticisms I have with the way we play sometimes. But it was just repetitive, wasn't it, in that first half? And you couldn't see where it was going to change or how it was going to get any better, really. But sure, it did in the second half, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what do you think maybe could have been done differently in that first half when you look back at it now, thinking, you know, what could have been maybe done setup-wise differently? Or maybe, obviously, we said about Jed getting in the game more, but it's hard to pick him out when you've got the three midfielders against him there.
No, definitely. I think that where we went wrong yesterday is we kept giving the ball away quite cheaply. I think, as you said, you know, but where we lost the ball the most, probably the most cheaply, was where there was like Keithton Bell or Billy or even Cooper or Hutch were stepping out of defence and trying to get it into to Bennick and Burke and Jed, and they were trying to almost split a line, and it kept getting cut out. And I think that's where probably the most frustrating giving away possession was. Because it was quite needless. Like we could have played it through the midfield, get Keith and Billy on the ball, and then try to spray it wide. I think maybe the thing we could have done slightly differently, we've said obviously play four at the back and maybe play three midfielders.
We don't move the ball quick enough either. No. I think our centre halves, they're competent on the ball. They're not terrible on it by any means, but they don't really move it quick enough. They don't, like, by the time they get under control and turn out and try to play the ball, it's a bit slower than a typical ball-playing centre-half you would label them can do. And I don't know if that's something that can be coached into them, because Cooper and Hutchinson have been here long enough that, you know, you can't... I'm not saying that old, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks, if that makes sense. Maybe if they're continuously drilled into playing a certain way, then they'll get better at it. But I think it's a common thing where you watch them play and they're very savvy with the ball. They look after it well. But when it comes to then get their feet, run with it, play a ball forward and kind of... You watch Fulham on Tuesday night against us... bang, 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 three passes, it's a ball in the box, and it's 1-0, if that makes sense. And when you watch us play, we don't really do that enough, I don't think, to kind of kick play forward when we've got the ball and at feet in defence.
We don't move enough. We don't move the ball quick enough to move the opposition around.
Correct.
So we've moved the ball to where we want the ball to be, everyone's back in their positions and everyone's set again and everyone's in the other teams are in their shape. Mm-hmm. So like Fulham, they were moving it wide, and by the time that we got back in our shape, they'd already gone down the wing, and then we were out of position. And then Definitely. That's where the goal came from. You know, they step up a gear and then they're away. We don't. I think we do have that. I just don't wonder if it's maybe a confidence thing. Maybe we don't want to do it, because, you know, when Raoult first came in, we had Hutchinson and Cooper overlapping, didn't we?
Yeah, I noticed that as well, actually. And thank you for reminding me of that, because first half and even in the second half, really, you didn't even see him overlapping at all in the game. Mm. And also, I was talking to my mate who I sit with at the game, and I said, even on the throw-ins that used to be up until probably the last third, you'd have Murray Wallace on the left side coming all the way up the pitch to take the throw-in. In the whole game yesterday, he didn't take one throw-in. I think it was Malone, even if it was deep in our half, was taking throw-ins. Maybe on the right side at times, Hutchinson came forward and took the throw-ins off McNamara. But I thought the idea of having the extra defender, we could progress play further forward and get the wing-backs further up the pitch. But then we'd have the throw-in on the halfway line, and then Murray Wallace will be taking the throw-in. No, sorry, Scott Malone will take the throw-in. Murray Wallace will give him the ball. And then all you're doing then is you have three defenders already behind the ball when it's a throw-in going into their half. And the easy option then is obviously to turn back and pass the ball back to Murray Wallace. And we just kept doing that. I don't know if that's something that's changed, but we're not going to see Cooper scoring a goal at Charlton like we did the way the team plays at the minute. I don't know if that's just, if it's a do away from it and it's maybe, you know, playing it safe a bit more at the moment. But we don't see that at the moment, do we?
No, it was sort of got me yesterday, because like they were sort of playing it sideways and backwards quite often. And, you know, obviously, as your first thought is to question, you know, I'm probably confidence on the ball, and maybe they're not confident to take the next step, or either that or it's the system, one of the two. But then, you know, I'm taking quite a close eye on what Raoult was doing, and Gary kept pushing them forward. He was kept going forwards, like he kept almost like signaling to them, go forward. So it almost looks to me like it's a confidence issue on the ball, that they don't want to lose it. And they think that if they lose it, they're going to struggle to maybe get back, or the other team are going to counter. And that might be to do with maybe the defensive mentality they have because of the way we play. And maybe that's where the confidence has been lost, maybe because they're worried that if we lose it, then they're not going to be able to have enough members, enough team, you know, teammates to get back and you know, defend it. So I think it's a thing with confidence at the moment, but that can easily be, you know, sorted with a couple wins maybe. And maybe even, you know, change of formation, and hopefully that will change. You know, it's quite a big thing to change. So obviously the confidence of players is quite a big thing. If you need to players aren't confident, that's quite a big thing. But it's something that can be done over time, and not loads of time, just, you know, a couple games, or four, five, six games, if they start winning and playing a bit better. I mean, both teams yesterday were definitely, well, Cardiff up until the other day or a couple of weeks ago hadn't scored in the first half all season.
So I don't know what our statistics are for first half goals this season.
It can't be much, can it?
No, I don't think. I mean, I wish I had them to hand, to be honest with you. And I mean, I just think like we do set out to stay in games, and we've always spoke about this, and I have no bugbear about it. But at the same time, I just think when you're at home, and you've always said like there's not, you know, it's quite clear we're mid-table mediocrity as it stands. Why can't we just try and make something of it? And he's talking about the 17 games left, and fair play, we won the one out of 17, 16 more to go, 16 more cup finals, whatever more innuendos you want to use for it. But I think we've bashed it enough for the first half, because we've got to put credit where it's due for the second there, Kai. And I think another thing he said in his post-match interview, he obviously said about getting Jed involved a bit more in the 10 position, but he also talked about Afobe and Burt being too wide at times. And I felt definitely in the second half, it was more, they went narrow, and then you saw a bit more of McNamara and Malone getting forward on the wing-back position. And I think we saw the rewards almost straight away, I felt like. I think it was about 55th minute. I think it's McNamara, neat work down the right-hand side, and I think Wallace is there as well. He drives it in first time. Afobe gets to it first, but he just clips it over the goal, doesn't he? And it was kind of a glimmer. I think what a caveat to it is Cardiff came out to play a bit more in the second half. I think Morris's game plan was keep the shop shut and tight in the first half. Spit my words out correctly. And then second half, try and play a bit more. And that played into our hands, obviously, because then we had more spaces to operate in, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely. We had more width as well to our play, which is quite important when you play five at the back. The wing-backs need to push forward. Mm-hmm. And I thought Bennick, Burke and Jed looked a real threat in the second half. And obviously did have a couple of good chances with, Hugh Gill had a good chance. Probably should have done better there, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
And obviously Cooper's penalty. Cooper's, I don't know what, I can't remember what Morrison said, described it as. He said something like Superman something. Something like that. He's thrown himself at like Superman or something. But no, I mean, you know, but we away from that, I thought, yeah, we just looked like a lot more dangerous in possession. We looked like we had a bit of a, we had that effectiveness to go forward, and we it was effective when we went forward, and we had that urge to go forward, and it looked a lot more, not direct, but you could see what they wanted to do, and they were trying to do it. Whereas in the first half, they were quite passive with the ball, whereas second half they were forceful with it, which was much better to see.
Definitely. I mean, I think just before the double change, which I think was the catalyst, I think even Jed had an opportunity where, again, he picks up the ball in the 10 position, turns and drives out the defence. And I think he takes it left footed, just drives it past the right-hand side of the post. Again, you never know, could have creeped in. I don't think Smithy was going to get there. So the pressure was starting to build. And then I think this was the real kind of changing point. Burke and Mitchell go off and Bennett and Saville are introduced. Obviously, you know, Bennett is a goal scorer. Saville assisted the goal scorer for the second goal. And it just kind of changed from that point onwards. I mean, I don't necessarily think Mitchell... I see a lot of people in home stands at times criticising Mitchell. I'm for it because, you know, we can't just protect him as he's one of our own. If he's having a poor game, let's dig him out for it. But I don't think he's having a poor game. But I think maybe he falls into that kind of category you're saying there, Kai, about short on confidence at times. And We don't really see too many lung-busting runs forward from him, which I do think he has in his locker, where he can pick the ball up and drive up the field and try and carry us up there and kind of put teams under pressure at times.
Yeah, he's shown it before, hasn't he, Billy? Last year, especially in COVID the lockdown season, he showed he could do it. And he showed it at the start of the season as well. I thought he was good, you know, when Brout first brought him back into the team. He had a really good first half of the season. That, you know, Billy's been one, probably him and Danny have probably been the breakout stars of the last 5-6 years, haven't they? Probably.
Yeah.
They've been excellent for us. It's been nice to see Billy try and push forward a little bit more and try and, because, you know, we know he's got a strike in him. He hit that brilliant strike against Tottenham. I think it was under 18 youth cut, wasn't it? So he's definitely got a strike in him, and we want to see them push up, press up celebrations again.
I wonder how much of it is a free license to play, or maybe how he's coached to play in this setup, maybe to recycle the ball and try to move it. But I did agree with the sub, to be honest, and I did agree with taking him off at the time and keeping Keith on. I thought Keith at times yesterday, he's not great on the ball, but he's quick at kind of spotting threats of play. There's a couple of times in the second half where he used his body, got in the way of players and bought free kicks and kind of broke up play where you expect him to do so, Kai. And I'm pretty sure it's another game where he didn't get booked. And I think since you said he's due a book in every game, unless he did get booked just now, missed it, he's not really been booked, has he?
No, I think I've said that and it's worked, hasn't it?
It's been the exact opposite, because I agreed with you and it's true. He was almost a guaranteed yellow card every game. If he was into kind of punting on this sort of stuff, I would put Keith in that kind of category. Since that point, I think he's probably not been booked once, mate.
No, if I put him in the sort of Granit Xhaka category, you know, where he sort of gets picks up one every game. But no, Keith's better than Xhaka anyway, so it's the way it is, you know. We did a show at the start of the season. Do you remember? I think it was first couple of games. I think we called it the Michael Kieftenbeld Fan Club, didn't we?
It's definitely come back. I don't think
and it's definitely that should be called. This show could be called the Michael Kieftenbeld Fan Club #2.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, I don't think it disappeared through his own doings. He just kind of vanished from the team for a little bit. I don't think he got injured or anything. He obviously started the season and was in that midfield three that we had at the time, where he was kind of the holding position. Played at QPR and was immense. He thrived on the fans being there after the game he was talking about. And, you know, Gary Rowett was bigging him up for that reason as well. He's the type of player that thrives on the kind of atmosphere. But at the same time, players need to bring fans into play. And I think at times he has that kind of ability where he could put a tackle in, but also he reads the game very well and all. And if you put him next to someone that can pass the ball, and you know, Saville came in, and I think Kai, his introduction to that game, it couldn't have been any better, really, because his influence in that 15-20-minute spell was kind of crucial, I felt like, to the win.
Yeah, and I think, you know, since he's come back, I've been quite surprised to only just see him back now. I thought he might have come on against Fulham, or he might have come on against Preston.
Yeah,
but no, his influence was really good. You know, he influenced the game. He was effective when he came on, and that ball, obviously, there's a little bit of luck involved. It hits the defender's boot, but he has to get there in the
first
place. There's
no deflection. Don't worry, it was fine.
But he has to get there, doesn't he? And he had the idea to put it over to Bennett. And I'm just not quite sure what the Cardiff defence is doing, because how tall is Mason Bennett? Maybe 5'7"?
5'8". Yeah, I'd say.
I mean, who's marking him? I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if that was us, I'd be annoyed. But, you know, Mason Bennett's there to tap, you know, head home for his second goal in 4 matches, which is good to see.
2 goals at the Den as well, isn't it? I think.
And his celebrations are brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, his celebration is class. And I think for that reason, we want to see more Mason Bennett goals, that's for sure. But obviously, that was the second of two, mate, because the first goal came through, I think probably you're going to say, your player of the season so far, I'm expecting. And I'm going to agree with you as well. I think it's Malone takes the corner, and it infuriated me that he took it in the first place, to be honest with you, because he just took a set piece a minute before it. I think it was a free kick on the edge of the box. Didn't beat the first man. I'm thinking, why is he on this corner now? I quickly forgot about that, because for whatever reason, Steve Morris would be disappointed about this, I'm pretty sure. You obviously heard his post-match words more, but the ball bounces in the box after a corner. I think maybe Hutch tries to get to it and it misses both the defender and Hutch. Bounces, and Murray Wallace is there kind of standing at the 6-yard line to head it in at the back post.
Yeah, it's a fantastic header, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, calls Morrison,
you right. Oh, God, yeah. But I mean, it was class. It was, you know, it was just like that's his fifth goal of the season in all competitions. Third in the league. Because he
could have scored a hat-trick in that cup game, I remember. He could have scored a hat-trick that day.
He so nearly scored a hat-trick. Remember that? Oh, my gosh, that would have been crazy. But no, he's been very good this season. He's so reliable. And he pops up with a goal that was really important yesterday. Got the game under work. Well, obviously it was 74 minutes in, but it sort of just sparked the game a little bit, and it gave us that chance to go forward and get a second as well. I just think he's really good, Murray. I just like the way he's overall player. He did a nice little trick yesterday as well, where he sort of cut inside, faked a defender, and went inside. He just, for someone that's quite obviously centre back like, almost in terms of his build. Obviously, he has played left back in the past and left wing back. He played left wing back the other day.
Yeah.
Someone who is centre back, is a centre back predominantly, and he's quite a big guy, 6'2", 6'3", isn't he? And, you know, quite stocky as well. He runs with the ball so well, and he beats so many defenders. Like, just by his body language, like when he, you know, shimmies to the left, shimmies to the right, and he's away, you know. He's brilliant. I like him
to myself on a Monday night, you know, when I play football on a Monday, mate. Shimmy left, shimmy right, you know what I mean? I'm unorthodox, I'm unpredictable, but it works. Shout out to my whole Monday night crew. I've not played for a while with them. But yeah, no, it's true. I agree with you, because it looks unorthodox is the word I'm using, but he makes it look so effective, he's play. And I think I definitely agree with you that he is my shout for player of the season so far. I like to see Danny Matt get a mention as well, because I feel like he's persevering past Rowett's doubts early in the season, and he seems to be going from strength to strength as well in that right wing back position. And I think with Murray Wallace in particular, he's just proving that he's the kind of, for me, I labelled him the Andy Frampton effect in the K jacket side, where you can put him anywhere and he'll do a job. And I felt like Andy Frampton at that point really was that kind of player. And it's just useful to have that sort of player on the side, because he played left wing back against Fulham, didn't look terrible there. And I wouldn't say he was at fault for many of the goals. Plays left side centre half against Cardiff, scores a goal. He's, like I say, he's fifth in all competitions now. He just can't do any wrong, I don't feel like. And we hear about is, you know, he's quite mobile, athletic. He's probably the fittest player in the squad, supposedly. Runs their training games quickest, or the training warm-ups they do in pre-season. And he's definitely an unsung hero in this side that's becoming prominent now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously myself as a defender and as a sort of a left wing back or left back or a centre back, it's quite easy to overlook these sort of players. But, you know, when you sort of notice the player, I mean, a defender's had a good game, hasn't he? Realistically, if you don't notice them, most likely, if you don't notice anything they've done wrong, they most likely had a good game. They've probably won their defensive battles and stuff. But you notice Murray, and it's never for the wrong reasons. You always notice Murray for something that he does, something ridiculous. Like the other day when he nutmegged Mitrovic, you're like, God, what a player. Like, you know, yesterday, he took it past someone, he scored. You know, he just can't, as you said, he can't do any wrong.
I think he was labelled a locked-down master on the socials after the game by the Mill admin. So I'll give him that. Lockdown Master is a good title for that one. And yeah, obviously, we mentioned towards the end of the game, we mentioned Bennett's goal. I feel like we was in control by that point up till the consolation right at the end. Bit nervy after that, mate. But ultimately, big 3 points for Millwall. 40 points now. 40 points already in the season, where at times it's felt like a bit of a schlep and a struggle. But, you know, 40 points at this stage of the season, I can't remember the point where we got to it last season. But it feels like middle of the road, Millwall under Rowett. And I guess we take it for granted sometimes and we're quite critical of it at times. But if it plays out like that most weeks, I don't think we'll be disappointed in it, to be honest, Kai. But it's just the inconsistency that always haunts this side.
We now need to back it up with 3 points on Tuesday. That's
how many times have we said that this season?
It's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to go with the opposite and say it's not going to happen again. But we'll talk more about that in part two. And obviously, you know, reverse psychology seems to have done the trick last couple of games. So it can only be a good thing there. But I guess to end this kind of part, it's just about being consistent. That is the key, isn't it, mate? And I said it there already, but it's worth saying it again. Just be consistent, for God's sake, Millwall.
Yeah, exactly. If we're consistent, then we have chances of moving up the table and making our season a little bit more exciting towards the back end of it. Obviously, if we're not consistent, then you can never get on them runs. The best teams win 3-4 games in a row. I mean, Fulham win like 10 sometimes, obviously, but Fulham are different gravy. But, you know, if you win a couple games in a row, 2-3 games, you do that 3-4 times a season, you'll be right up there.
First 90 minutes since November for a Sir Jed Wallace as well.
Lovely stuff. Good to see that.
And I thought he looked like he was back to his best, I felt like. And he's definitely, it's not quite there yet for what we kind of expect from Jed. But his determination to run the ball and obviously his involvement in the team does make us a better outlet going forward, doesn't it? And I think we already knew this. We're stating the obvious, but it's great to see him back on that side. And none of us expected it in the middle of January. So it's a welcome sight, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just nice to see Jed Wallace playing football and looking like he's enjoying it, you know, out on the pitch. And hopefully he can have a good end to the season with us.
He's 5 goals short from his double tally that he normally gets. And he's obviously 4 assists away from that as well. So, Jed, no pressure, mate. But come on, help us kind of propel up the league a bit more. And yeah, I think that's probably wrapping up part number one, mate. And we're sitting in 15th place in the table. Let's go into part number two and talk a bit about QPR. And welcome to that second part of this show. Kai, mate, we got a West London team in QPR coming to the Den on Tuesday night. What are you expecting in a London derby, mate?
It's going to be a difficult one. Obviously, they lost against Barnsley on the weekend 1-0. So in that sort of way, they potentially are like a wounded dog, aren't they, in that way?
Yeah.
You know, any team that loses, they're obviously determined to follow it up with, you know, get back to winning ways. They've got a good side. They've got really good midfielders in Elias Chair, Chris Willock. They've got some good forwards, Lyndon Dykes, obviously Austin. I think Andre Gray's away at the moment, I think.
He played last game. He played against Barnsley.
Yeah. He's back then. So Andre Gray's back as well. They got Lee. That could be. Do you know what? This is going to be really confusing game, this one, Omar, because
we've
got Jed Wallace and Murray Wallace, and they've got Lee Wallace.
Yeah.
So, what Wallace do you reckon is going to come out on top?
Good question. The battle of the Wallaces. We'll go for Jed. Come on, Jed's going to be a decisive factor, isn't he, on Tuesday night? Surely. I agree with you, and it's an interesting tie because obviously Barnsley haven't been great this season, mate, and I think that's their first win in however long, probably since. Wait, I'm actually going to tell you, since they beat Derby County on the 3rd of November. So it's gonna be definitely a wounded animal there in QPR. And I think obviously from what we saw in the first game of the season, I don't think much has changed about them. A lot of people anticipate them to be up there this season, and they're duly delivering on that. I think they're in fourth place at the table as we speak on 52 points. And if they won on the weekends, people will be talking about them in better terms than they have done about Blackburn. And it's kind of just creeped up on us a little bit how, you know, they've kind of played their way into it. But it's no surprise at the same time, is that fair to say?
Yeah, they've got a really good creative outlet in Chair and Willock. They, you know, they pop up with goals all the time. They're very clever, quick with their movement, good with their feet. And yeah, they're just a problem for any defence. So we're gonna have to be on that. Keithton Bell, if he does start, would have to be, you know, watch wary of that one. Wary of them two players, and whoever the other centre midfielder is, either that's Billy or Saville, if they play three potentially, you know, have to make sure they try and deal with them, because they're definitely a threat in that side.
Yeah, they're two without a win now, so they'll be keen to kind of put that right and obviously get back to it. Excuse me, my phone's going off. But yeah, obviously, I think a good talented team. Even Charlie Austin's not getting their team at the minute, Kai. So it says a lot about them there. You know, it's not necessarily about, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not necessarily about the star hitters in that team. There's a lot of, you know, players in there that are young, hungry, championship talented players. Rob Dickey always sticks out to me after his first game of season against us anyway. You know, that goal against us at Loftus Road. But they're definitely a side that they play five at the back as well. So it'd be no surprise to see what team we will play Tuesday night. But under Warburton, they seem to be going places.
No, he's done well, Warburton. There was a bit of a spell, wasn't there? I think it was about a year and a bit ago, maybe, just as COVID was hitting. They were sort of a mid-table sort of side. And the fans were probably calling him for a bit of change. But he's delivered, hasn't he? He's turned it around, and God, what a job he's doing. They've just got a really good mix of balance. They're really mix of players, really good balance to their style of play. And it just works for them. So yeah, they're going to be a tricky team on Tuesday night. But we just need to try and get down the wing, you know, use the width well, try and win that midfield battle, and then take our chances when they come to us. All sounds very easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it, mate. You just got to take your chances when they come to you. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what we all do, right? That's why we're top of the league. Yeah. So it's no bother at all. But they struggled well in the January window and all. I think David Marshall arrived, the goalkeeper from Derby. Jeff Hendrick as well in the midfield. And Dion Sanderson, who was linked with from Wolverhampton Wanderers, albeit he's not really featured of late last couple of games on the bench. But it's just a tricky team. But as always, we've got to big us up on a London Derby night. So Tuesday night under the lights at the Den. Hopefully some more fans turn up after the win on Saturday. And a real chance for us to make it wins back-to-back. Something we've not done in a little while.
Absolutely. It's a good chance. It's a good opportunity. And hopefully we can take it, because, you know, that's when you rise at the table. And if we want to make our season something now, we need to start grabbing these opportunities and taking them.
Millwall have won back-to-back games twice this season. Can you name me both? Go on, I'll put you on the spot a little bit.
Was one of them Bristol City?
And the other was Barnsley, correct?
Yeah, Barnsley. And then the other one... Very shortly after this, Was one of them Reading?
No.
No?
When we played Reading, we then drew to Derby. It was before that.
Was it Stoke?
Yeah, and who was the game before it? Think of the left side centre half that we got that we said doesn't overlap anymore, but somehow managed to score Weldy at Bramall Lane.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, see?
Where he does this.
I think everyone was confused as him that day when he scored that goal. And yeah, it's set up for us. So what can I say? I think if you look at our fixtures, mate, I think it's probably a good time to check that out. You know, we've got, like I said, QPR Tuesday. Then we've got a tough trip to Blackburn all week on Saturday or next Saturday. Then we've got Derby away on that Tuesday afterwards, Sheffield United at home. And that kind of brings an end to a block of games. But then you've got Reading, Middlesbrough, Huddersfield, Stoke. They're not teams I'm scared of, Kai, but they're teams that are hard-working and resilient sides. I'm thinking Derby. I'm thinking of Middlesbrough and Chris Wilder when they come to town. Tricky games, but not any teams that we should be fearful of. And if we're in good nick and in good form, and maybe get the likes of Freeman back, obviously Ballard's to come back into the side at some point. It'd be interesting to see when he's due back into the squad, because he wasn't there.
Hopefully Afobe's okay as well.
And hopefully Afobe's all right. And I know even Burke got a little bit of a knee knock in the first half on second half on Saturday before he went off. So if we had a fitter squads and we've got options available, it's an interesting time to, I suppose what Rowett said on Tuesday night after defeat at Fulham, 17 games left, the gauntlet's there for the players, and hopefully they're hungry for it and want to take the opportunity.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's just hope they, you know, they've seen that game as a that game on Saturday as a chance to push on, chance to put a marker down and show the teams around us that, you know, we're not going to just fall away this season. We're gonna keep going. We're gonna keep fighting, and hopefully we'll be playing for something at least on the last day of the season. And hopefully it's not the other way around, and it's not down there, it's up there.
Yeah, I think, if I'm honest with you, I'm expecting mid-table, but if anything better, yeah, it's brilliant. And I guess it's the tone for a lot of the season. We had to reevaluate our predictions early on. Don't get me wrong.
I'm still playing at Bournemouth C, mate. We'll have to come back
to them predictions at the start of the season soon. Obviously, when we get towards the end of the season, that'd be quite funny to listen back to at the best of times. But that's what we are. We're Millwall fans. We're deluded at the best of times, and realists at the worst of times, I suppose. And it's weird. This feels like the worst of times because it's not. But at the same time, it's this weird position to be in. But I guess it's the modern day Millwall fan or the modern day football fan in general. We know the downs and we know what the lows have been for Millwall in recent history, Kai, but we always want a bit more. And I suppose it's not a bad thing to want that. But at the same time, I suppose if it's what we're getting served up is what we got served up on Saturday, I have no arguments against it. It's a weird scenario to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because obviously, like, you know, what was it, just before maybe Holloway, well, obviously when Holloway was here, Lomas was here, mm-hmm, and if Jacket probably, we probably would have bitten your hand off of mid-table, wouldn't we, Championship? But it just shows you how much Millwall has, as a football club, has evolved in terms of the quality of players we've got in right now.
Yeah.
The players are much, you know, the players have got the quality to be up there, I reckon. It's just how we play, whether it suits them and hope, whether it suits the style of play, and hopefully we could start showing that now.
It hits home to me thinking I wouldn't be a football manager, because I suppose if you're Gary Rowett when you took the Millwall job, you've obviously got to progress us, but I've got to kind of stop to myself thinking, what do you actually want? Like, what do you expect? We've got a smaller budget. I'm stuck in a position where I know we can do more. I think we can get a lot more from this team. And this is what I agree with you about the talented players comment. But at the same time, we're doing what we expect. So what's the problem, if that makes sense? So just a weird kind of feeling this evening on a Sunday. And it's not necessarily because of alcohol infused either. Normally, I want to come down after excessive drinking amounts on a Saturday. Instead, I've had a sensible Saturday. I'm sitting on a Sunday feeling quite realist and modest about things. And it's a weird feeling being a Mill fan in that kind of position, Kai, I have to tell you.
No, I'm feeling the same, to be fair, mate. I'm feeling I'm feeling happy about yesterday. But no, still, we've got a job to do Tuesday night, and I don't know, it's difficult. I only go for 1-0 and go Mason.
I was literally about to ask you for score prediction. 1-0. Okay. Same team as Saturday if they're all fit. I think we might see maybe Bennett coming for a phobia if he's injured, maybe.
Maybe
that's a problem made for itself there. And even maybe Ballard creep into the side. Is it too soon for him, maybe? Or?
But who would you drop? That's the question. Because obviously Murray's having a storm where you can't drop Murray.
Good point. I think the balance is there at the back at the moment, and obviously clean sheets were there before the Fulham game. So, what is it, 2 in the last 4? Yeah, I suppose the team picks itself in certain positions anyway. So, I agree with you. I think team probably does pick itself. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a 1-1 draw on Tuesday, and I'll take it. QPR obviously want to get back to winning ways. I think it's gonna be a tough tie. They'll take a big following. I'm no doubt sure about that, because obviously form's been quite good for them recently. And hopefully we have a decent then crowd to back us up on under the lights and see a 1-1 draw. I think we'll probably play good. I think we'll be on the front foot, but I just don't think we'll have enough to beat them on Tuesday. So there's my prediction, mate.
No worries, mate. I was going to say to you, actually, we've got to start doing a daily update. Well, not daily update, but a podcast update of how you and Mickey's gym sessions are going. So go on, update us all.
We've completed week one. That's for sure. And week two starts tomorrow, Monday morning. When you guys listen to this podcast at 6 in the morning, some of you pick it up. I do see some of you listen to it. We'll be in there doing week number 2 and still going, mate. Every other day during the week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it's just consistency, isn't it, mate? So what about yourself? Are you going to start up to a gym? Are you going to join one? What are you doing?
I haven't really got enough time, mate. No,
hard life being a journalist.
No, mate. I have started playing cricket again. So, like, pre-season nets have started. So, you know, we're doing Mondays, not quite doing Wednesdays or Fridays. But we'll build it up. We'll get there.
And if anyone's putting any New Year's resolutions and they're still doing them, fair play to you. I kind of started and stopped, but the motivation of someone going with me helped. So if you're doing anything like that, if you're trying to strive to any New Year's resolutions that involve any fitness goals or anything like that, be sure to let us know. And I think that wraps up that meal podcast. And thanks for joining me as always, Guy.
No worries, mate. Enjoyed it. Hopefully we can get 3 points on Tuesday night.
We shall see. And we'll be back on Thursday, obviously, maybe Friday, to discuss that QPR game and preview Blackburn. If you're new around here, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, and obviously let us know what you thought of this podcast. Just me and Kai today. Shout out to Mickey. Hope you're well, mate, and we'll be back soon. Cheers, guys.